Thank you, Matt. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to cover verses 26 through 29, and then Galatians 4, 4 through 7. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, didn't we cover 26 through 29 last week? And if you're thinking that, you're exactly right. We did, but there's so much in here, I couldn't just move on for the sake of moving on. There's some stuff that we just need to talk about. There's some things in these verses that we need to understand. And so, again, we're going to be looking at chapter 3, Galatians 3, 26 through 29. It's in your notes. And then Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Does anybody need notes? If you need them, just raise your hand, and we'll have somebody bring you some. So it looks like everybody's good. Okay. So today we're going to focus on what it means to be in Christ. That's a huge statement in Scripture, and it has a lot of impact on our lives. We're also going to focus on what it means to be adopted into God's family, to be a child of God. We're also going to focus on what it means to be clothed in Christ. And again, these verses are packed with meaning that can help us live fruitful lives in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. So beginning with verse 26 in Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Now I want you to do something this morning. See the phrase "through faith"? Right above that with your pen, put "by grace." And then after you write "by grace" above that, draw a little arrow from "sons of God" that I bolded in your notes to the phrase "by grace," and then draw another little arrow down to "through faith," and then "in Christ Jesus." We've gone over this time and time again. The Bible clearly teaches that you and I are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's say that together. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay? So that's verse 26. Verse 27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, last week we talked about, and we learned that Paul is not teaching, and this is what some people teach, but this is not correct. Paul is not teaching that all cultures, classes, and genders are done away with in Christ. But what he's teaching is that we are all one in Christ Jesus. No one is more valuable. We have different roles. We have different classes. We have different genders. And I don't know about you, but I love other cultures. I mean, the last thing I'd want to do is obliterate other cultures, because I love other cultures. I was talking to you, one of you this morning. Some of the best times that I've ever had with my family is when we've been in other countries doing mission trips, because you just get to learn so much. We're taking a team of people to Juarez, Mexico here in a few weeks, and you get to learn so much about other cultures. I would never want all that stuff to go away. And so, but that's not what Paul's teaching. He's saying, listen, in Christ, no one is superior. In Christ, spiritually speaking, no one is superior, and no one is more valuable. You are all one spiritually in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, because Christ is the seed, we learn in Genesis, the seed of Abraham, then you are Abraham's descendants according to the promise that God made Abraham to Abraham. Now Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, meaning the perfect moment in history, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, meaning he was a Jew, and he was expected and required to perfectly obey God's law like every other man. So that, the Bible says, he might redeem those who were under the law because of his perfect obedience and his sacrificial death on the cross, he might redeem those who are under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. Put another way, by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, we become God's children, legally speaking. It's as if God signed the legal adoption papers himself, adopting us into his family and having received our new status now as sons of God through baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have become God's children intimately and experientially, as we'll see in a few minutes. All right, verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so the fact that we can now call God Abba, Father, means now that we have an intimate and personal relationship with God the Father through his Spirit that lives in us. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave with no rights and zero privileges, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. And so it is this legal and experiential adoption that some have called the climax of the gospel message. One author writes, the notion that we are children of God, his own sons and daughters, is the mainspring of Christian living. Our sonship to God is the apex of creation and the goal of redemption, which leads us to point number one in your notes this morning, if you're taking notes. Understanding our divine adoption, listen to this, don't miss this. This is critical that you understand this. Understanding our divine adoption is paramount to understanding who we are and the privilege we have as sons of God in Christ Jesus. Because if you're in Christ, who is Abraham's seed, then you too are an heir of all the blessings promised to Abraham. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 1:3 there in your notes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Put another way, you already have every blessing you need to live the Christian life successfully, should you choose to access those things. Paul says in verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, listen closely to what I'm about to tell you, because we, a while back, kind of took a little detour from the original language and went off on our own. So listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. Some people get offended at the masculine use of the word sons in verse 26. In fact, the NIV in the year 2011 changed it to read children of God instead of sons of God. But the problem with changing the biblical wording is that you lose the original meaning that is a game changer in this passage for men and women. In fact, in changing the biblical language here, we miss a radical new statement of equality between men and women. You see, in these ancient cultures, a daughter could not inherit her father's property because it was strictly forbidden. But when Paul uses the term sons of God in verse 26 to include males and females, he's saying that all Christians, whether male or female, are now legal heirs of God the Father in Christ Jesus. And so when Paul tells us that we are sons of God in Christ, he's saying that we're all heirs of God's promise to Abraham. Put another way, we are all heirs of God's forgiveness. All of us are heirs of justification by faith. All of us are heirs of the unlimited access to his throne. All of us are heirs of membership in his church. We're all heirs of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're all heirs of intimacy with Father and Son and eternal life in his kingdom, whether man or woman. Amen. And the Bible says that God never plays favorites like man does, James 2:1 and 1 Peter 1:17. In fact, God's word also, listen to this, God's word also describes all believers, and if it's all believers, obviously, then it includes men as well, as the bride of Christ. Revelation chapter 21. And the Bible says that God is always perfectly just in how he treats all people, and that's why he tells us not to judge each other. Because we are never perfectly just. Not one of us. The ones that claim that people aren't meeting my rights and feeding all my rights, none of us are just. None of us are ever perfectly just in how we treat other people. But the Bible says that God is always perfectly just. And so the bottom line is, in our insecurity, if we don't allow the biblical language to speak for itself, we run the risk of missing a radical, new, liberating truth that God intended with the coming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 27. For all of you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, and you have clothed yourselves with Christ. Point number two. The individual who's baptized into Christ is also, listen to this very closely and let this sink in. Don't just write it down and let it shoot right over your head. The individual who's baptized into Christ is also crucified, buried, and resurrected with Jesus Christ. The individual is crucified, buried, and resurrected. In fact, when we baptize someone in water, it's a witness of that. It's a symbol of that. In other words, the person who is in Christ has, listen to this closely, the person who is in Christ has crucified and buried the old way of life, and now is resurrected and joined together into a new life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the believer is now seen by God the Father as a sinless son. But one of the biggest mistakes a man makes, and I would speak more maybe to men than women, because this is what I see in my own life as well. One of the biggest mistakes a man makes is trusting Christ for salvation and then continuing to hang on to the old way of life. And the problem with continuing to hang on to your old way of life, meaning your old attitudes, your old habits, and for some of us, our old accolades, our achievements, our trophies, our plaques. The problem with continuing to hang on to the old life is that it keeps you from experiencing the new life. It keeps you from ever really truly coming forward and moving forward and experiencing the blessings that God has for you in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17 in your notes, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Bottom line, you cannot drag Christ around with you as you continue in the old way of life. You cannot drag Christ around with you as you continue to live for yourself and as you continue to live according to your old ways. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved, but what I am saying is that you can't continue to live for yourself and your glory, and the word glory ultimately means worship. You can't continue to live for yourself and your worship and expect to receive the blessings that God has for you at the same time, because, friend, you are grieving the Holy Spirit that lives within you. He who is joined to the Lord by the Holy Spirit becomes one spirit with him. And so just as our divine adoption implies amazing blessings, so does being clothed in Christ. Verse 27, let's look at that. Today we're going to look at four huge blessings that come from having clothed yourselves with Christ Jesus and living this new life, being done away with the old life, the former things, and living this new life in Christ Jesus. Once you have clothed yourself in Christ, then A, your principal identity is now Christ. It's no longer who you used to be. It's no longer who you were back in the past. And you have to let go of some things if you ever want to escape the past. And some of those things might be people. I had to let go of some people in the past. And praise God, some of them that ridiculed me for coming to Christ and turning my life around and living for Jesus have called me years later and say, man, I'm sorry. I lost a great friendship because of drugs. And I'm sorry that I chose drugs over our friendship. And so the witness that you live in front of those people, even though you can go through some brutal times, your best friend can say, hey, man, you're losing it. Can come back around years and years later. There's a big group of us. None of us were saved when we were kids. None of us. Until after high school. And now we have this big group of friends texting each other scripture and praying for each other and looking for ways to reach out to other people that graduated from Lamar High School to be a witness to them as well. And I just ran into a guy literally a few weeks ago, and I didn't run into him. I found his business card on the sidewalk in Hyco. And I called him and I said, are you the guy that I think you are? And he said, yes. And we got together. We had lunch together. It was an amazing time. And then I was on a phone call with another guy that said, man, I remember when you and CT, you guys got saved and you would just take me along and let me hang out with y'all. This guy was like 5 years younger than us. And I don't even remember why all that happened. But for it to happen, you got to leave the old ways behind. You got to let those things go if you ever want to be blessed with the blessings that God has for you. You have to take on your new identity and begin to clothe yourselves in Christ. Now think about what we're talking about today. Your clothing identifies who you are, right? It can identify your gender. It can identify the groups or the teams that you're on or that you hang out with. It can even identify your social class. Just this week, a team of people from GBF traveled to Dallas with me to meet with architects, and the receptionist immediately identified Adam as a cowboy because of his clothing. She said, you're a cowboy. But as believers, our ultimate identity should be found in Christ. Amen? In fact, that's one of the problems with being a cowboy or being an athlete or being a celebrity. You fill in the blank. That's one of the problems with all of those things is if we're not very careful, they become our main identity instead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:24, put on the new self. Look in your notes. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The New Living Translation says it this way, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And again, the word holy means to be set apart from the ways of the world. Set apart from the old ways. And once you've clothed yourselves in Christ, you will begin to experience point B. You will begin to share in an intimacy with Christ that maybe you've only heard others talk about, but you've never experienced? What do you have that stays closer to you than your clothes? Your clothes go everywhere with you, they identify you, and they protect you. And so to say that we have been clothed with Christ is to claim, listen to this, a daily dependence on Him everywhere we go and everything we do. Nothing sticks closer to us than our clothes. We depend on those clothes every day. And to say that we have been clothed with Christ is to claim a daily dependence on Him everywhere we go and everything we do. And as we abide in Christ this closely, we experience the intimacy, the love, the protection, the provision, the guidance, the peace, and all the other blessings that He provides to us on a daily basis. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 13, 14 in your notes, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not anymore think about how to gratify the desires of that old sinful nature. Let me ask you a question this morning. You know why so many Christians lack intimacy with Christ besides sin in their lives, besides living in sin? You know one of the main reasons that Christians lack intimacy with Christ? Jesus said it in Luke 12, 34. Luke 1, 2, 3, 4. Jesus said, "For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Put another way, the more you invest in this world, the more intimate your heart will be with this world. But the more you invest in the kingdom of God, the more your heart will be intimate with the Lord and His kingdom. And once you've clothed yourselves with Christ, you'll begin to experience point C. You will begin walking with Christ. You'll begin to experience what it's like, the Bible calls it, to actually walk with Christ. And as you learn to walk with Christ, or practice relying on His presence in your life, your perspective will begin to change. Your life will become less and less self-centered. Always what's happening to me. And it'll become more and more Christ-centered. Put another way, you will seek to glorify or worship yourself less and glorify Christ more. And in so doing, you will experience the presence of Christ in your life like never before. The Bible says in Psalm 56, 13, "For you have rescued me from death, and you have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light." And last but not least, once you've clothed yourselves in Christ, you'll begin to experience being covered by Christ. You'll begin to understand what it means to be truly covered by Christ. And just like your clothes cover the things that you don't want revealed, Christ's blood will cover your sin and your shame. And you'll begin to experience a peace and a freedom from guilt, a freedom from regret like never before in your life. Jesus Christ covered us in His blood at the cross so that we could be saved from our sin and our shame, and so we could then show, listen, that same, the Bible says, mercy, grace, and forgiveness to others. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 3 in your notes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Clothe yourselves with kindness. Clothe yourselves with humility and gentleness and patience. And bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive just as the Lord has forgiven you. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. And now that we're in Christ and we've been clothed with Christ, when God sees us, he sees us as his sons, both male and female, perfect and righteous, with no one more valuable than the other, no one more superior than the other. One commentator says, the Lord Jesus has given us his righteousness and his perfection to wear. Therefore, praise God for this radical and daring new way of life, and clothe yourselves with Christ and taste and see that the Lord is good. But you're never going to experience that hanging on to these other things, hanging on to the past, trying to be however cool you were in the past, whoever you were in the past, and all the trophies that you have from the past. You're never going to experience this new life and these amazing, radical blessings that God has for you until you lay all that at his feet and you begin to worship him and lay down worshiping yourself. Take on your new identity in Christ Jesus. Leave the athlete behind. Leave the cowboy. It's one of the dangerous, most dangerous things about John Wayne. And there's not many people that like John Wayne movies more than I do, but it's one of the most dangerous things about John Wayne. We'd rather be like John Wayne all day long than be like Jesus. And I'm not cutting the guy down at all, believe me. But we got to leave those things behind and clothe ourselves with Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge, or put another way, puts his faith in him. And that's what it looks like to be in Christ. And that's what it looks like to clothe yourselves with Christ. It means you take refuge in him just like you do when you clothe yourself every morning. And it goes way beyond obeying Christ to find favor with him. You don't need to do that. Jesus has paid for that. Amen. This is learning to love him and learning to walk with him and experiencing his presence and his peace and his provision and his protection in our lives. But to experience Christ and all the blessings he has for you, you must do away with your old clothes. You must do away with your old ways, your old attitudes, your old behaviors, and your old habits, and ultimately this idea of glorifying yourself. Think about it like this. When you're seeking to glorify yourself or making a name for yourself, you are seeking worship for yourself instead of your Savior. But when you clothe yourself with Christ, it's not about you anymore. It is about bringing glory to him, and it's about making a name for him, and it's about building his kingdom. Because at the end of the day, the only reason any of us have been accepted by God, don't miss that statement, the only reason any of us have been accepted by God is because we've been clothed with Christ. Would you join me in prayer?